is trials, because the church at Thessalonica had gone through a lot of persecution and attacks and trials with their stand. And that is what this passage is about tonight, where we start chapter 3, is trials. And Paul trying to encourage them in the midst of those trials. So notice chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he said, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you in our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came in from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast, if ye stand fast in the Lord." So our title tonight is "We Should Suffer Tribulation." Let's pray. Lord, use your word to teach us tonight. Thank you for it and allowing us to have a copy of it, Lord. It's our love. It's our power. It's our food. And I pray tonight the Holy Spirit would use it in our hearts in a mighty way. I pray you'd guide us in your truth, that Jesus would be magnified. Bless our time of prayer as well, as we break up later and pray one for another. We are grateful for tonight and give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it something how Paul sent Timotheus to comfort the Thessalonians in their tribulations? But along the way, Paul said there in verse 7, "We were comforted over you." So when they got the report back from Timothy, Paul was comforted. And that's how it works with God, isn't it? The comfort goes both ways. And we read about that, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And God allows us to go through trials a lot of times that we'll be well equipped to help someone else, to comfort them. Now notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So one of the reasons God allows us to go through tribulation is so when someone else goes through a similar tribulation, we can say, "Listen, I've been there. I know what you're going through." And we can offer comfort. And so the Thessalonians received comfort from Timothy, and then Paul received comfort when Timothy returned with his good report that they had gone through the tribulation and they had kept their faith. So here in our passage, chapter 3, verse 2, we see that God will establish and comfort us in our tribulations, which Paul said, "I sent Timothy to do this," but it's obviously he's just a man. It was through the Holy Spirit, with Timothy as the avenue, if you will, that they receive the comfort. But God wants us to be comforted and established even when we have trials. And are we going to have trials? Well, verse 3 says we will. But we're told to be patient in tribulation. That's Romans 12:12 behind me is that passage. We are to be established, we're to be comforted in our tribulation. That comes, as we just read, from God. So we go to his word, we go to him in prayer, and God offers that comfort and grounds and establishes us in the midst of our tribulations. Because, as it says in verse 3, he says, "We are appointed thereunto." In other words, we are appointed to suffer. Now, people don't want to hear this, but it's scriptural that as Christians, we will suffer tribulation. Those tribulations are of God, and they are His will, and He allows them because they are good for us in various ways. But the Bible makes it very clear. If you go to Psalm 34:19, we'll see an example. Psalm 34:19. Good memory verse, by the way, in case you're collecting them. What does that say? Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Bible's filled with beautiful promises. Some of the promises are not necessarily things that we get jump up and down and get excited about, but God promised that we will have many afflictions. Now, Jesus in John 16 said a similar thing. Let's turn there. John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." So Jesus didn't say you might have tribulation, did he? He said, "In the world ye shall have." You disciples and disciples onward shall have tribulation in this world. And so we're appointed thereunto. God wants us to be comforted and to be established in the midst of it. But our title here in verse 4, he says, "When we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation." In other words, it's God's will. We should suffer tribulation. Satan wants to use trials to tear us down. But God wants to use them to build us up. Same trial. It all depends on how we choose to respond to it, doesn't it? Are we going to let the devil use it to discourage us, to anger us, or are we going to let God use it to build us? It's up to us. But what we find here is that it will happen, there will be tribulations, and we should suffer them. In other words, they are God's will, and suffering, according to Scripture, is all part of God's growing process. Now, we know Job 23:12. We don't need to turn there. We sing it all the time. "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me, I will be refined. I will be better. I will come forth as gold." But let's look at some New Testament verses that clearly teach, 2 Corinthians 4:17, that clearly teach that afflictions are good for us, that we should suffer tribulation. Notice 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You see that word "worketh" in 2 Corinthians 4:17? Means it work, that the tribulations actually accomplish something in our lives. Let's look at another one, James chapter 1 and verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work." There it is again, her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then 1 Peter 5:10, one more. 1 Peter 5:10. "That the God of all grace hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." God will use suffering in our lives. It is His plan, it is His will, as we see in this verse, to perfect, establish, to strengthen, to settle us. So Paul's making it very clear to these Christians at Thessalonica that as they go through these tribulations, not to be shocked. They are God's will. They are part of God's plan. We are appointed unto them, and God will use them in our lives. All right, back to our passage, verse 5. Then he talks about temptation. Now, temptation is a form of trials, but it's different in that it's The flesh being tempted, as you know, we talked about this at family camp, with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But notice verse 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." In other words, I had to know how you were doing. I've heard about all your sufferings. I've heard about your tribulations. I've heard about your temptations. I had to know, and that's why I sent Timothy, "lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." That is, of course, one of the names of the devil, isn't it? The tempter. The tempter tempts us. But Paul, of course, was pleased with the report that they had gone through the temptations and they had come out on the other side, not succumbing to the temptations, which is God's will for all of us. Look at James 1:12, if you would. James chapter 1, verse 12. And God wants us to stand fast when we are tempted. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Notice the word endureth. Blessed is the man that endureth, that goes through it and does not succumb to it. And of course, Paul was very pleased that this is what happened to the church at Thessalonica. So he made it clear that he wanted them established and comforted in the tribulations, that God would do that for them, that temptations are appointed unto us, that we will have them, and that they are God's will, and that sometimes they will include temptations from the devil. But what are we supposed to do but stand fast? And then verse 6, "But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." One of the benefits of tribulations is that God builds up our faith and our charity. We see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's just turn over there quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Says, "We are bound to thank God always for your brethren as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." So here Paul is actually commending the same church in his second epistle, that their faith grew exceedingly and that their charity abounded. But notice, in the midst of their persecutions and their tribulations, God uses these tribulations to improve us, to make us more like Jesus. And one of those benefits is that our faith and our charity, they grow. And then Paul concludes in verse 8, "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." It's God's will that Christians stand fast. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have temptations. We're appointed thereunto. "You shall suffer," he said. But what's he finished there by saying? "Stand fast, you Thessalonians. Stand fast in the midst of these tribulations. In the midst of these temptations," we'll see the example in James 5:10 of Job. We all know the story of Job. If anybody went through trials and temptations, it was Job. James 5:10, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." But notice he says here, an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. "And you count them happy which endure." There's that word endure again. So Paul sent Timothy. Timothy came back with a great report that the church at Thessalonica had gone through intense tribulations and temptations, but they had stood fast. They had actually grown in their faith in the midst of those temptations and trials, which is exactly what God wants for us. It's all about perspective. We're going to have them. It's just how we respond when they come. We can respond with anger. We can respond with frustration. We can throw up our hands and say, I quit, I give up. Or we, as we read in James, can say, this is God's will. I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm going to trust the Lord. And I know He has a plan and He has a purpose behind this. It may not be pleasant. There may be pain involved, but God knows what He's doing. Same trial, totally different perspectives. Paul checked on them, hoping that they had responded properly, and they had. Thank the Lord. They were a good example. As he said, we should suffer tribulation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We love you. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. And we do thank you, Lord, that you know what's best for us and that you use trials in our lives to grow us and to refine us. May we always respond that way, understanding that you are in control. And may we implement that in our Christian walk all the time so that when the trials do come, Lord, we will stop and count it all joy. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen.